Praise the Lord. We're going to have communion this morning, taking of the what Jesus called the, his supper, his last supper. So we're going to try to dwell on that a little bit later here about what Jesus did for us. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians and the first chapter, and we are going to ask the Lord to bless the Word of God as we give it out here and hear it with our ears and so forth. Hallelujah. God is so good. Praise the Lord. I sure enjoyed your song, brother. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Praise the Lord. We're so thankful for everyone who participates and is willing to sing and willing to play and all the different things. And you all that are here, so glad you're here. Praise the Lord, everyone. Hallelujah. Let's ask the Lord to bless the word. Father, we thank you for the word of God, and we're believing you this morning that you'll bless this message to our hearts. And help us, Father, more and more to realize what the cross bore for us, what Jesus bore for us on that cross. Oh God, he saved us from our terrible sins and made a place in heaven for us to go to be with him. How thankful we are. Bless us now, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Turn with me now to Ephesians, the first chapter. Praise the Lord. Apostle Paul. We're going to begin reading with verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." How did he do that? How did he bless us with all spiritual blessings in Christ? By providing salvation through his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our believing and receiving Christ, we are just so blessed by God our Father. Hallelujah, of our Lord Jesus Christ. How much he loves us, that he wanted just to give us a beautiful, wonderful gift. Praise the Lord, and he did. He gave us the gift of eternal salvation through his Son. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That word all has a special meaning in the Greek. It means all. It means every. It means the whole, the huge amount. So if you're going around just feeling like you're a little blessed a little bit, there might be something wrong, that you're not really walking with God or yielding to God, letting him really work, because he has blessed us with a huge amount. That's what that word all means, a huge amount. Praise the Lord. In the heavenly places. Praise the Lord. What does that mean? The heavenly places, according to the word of God, and especially it seems like Ephesians mentions this more than others, he has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. We are the chosen generation. Hallelujah. Those that will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Isn't that beautiful? We're so blessed. Oh, every one of us should just be blessing God and praising him for what he has done for us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Going on to verse 4, it says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." He has chosen us in him. Now, the Amplified version, and maybe you don't care for that version, that's okay with me. I don't like everything they say. But I do get some good from it. Where he says he hath chosen us, it means he has selected us for himself. He selected us. Is that some problem, that some people are selected and some people are not selected? Well, you see, God knows the end from the beginning, and he sees whether we're going to have faith or not. And so he gives it to whosoever will. Whosoever will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to accept them. And praise the Lord, when he sees that heart that is going to come on to him, they are the chosen, praise the Lord, choosing us in him. Oh, hallelujah. So Amplified says, selected us for himself before the foundation of the world. Now, can you believe that? Before the foundation of the world, the Lord knew your name. He already knew that you would be a believer in his name. Now, he brought about circumstances for you to hear the truth of the Word of God. And all of us who have accepted the Lord as our Savior, we know how beautiful that was when the Lord spoke to our hearts and we became a Christian. We yielded our life to God. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of references in Paul's gospel about God choosing his people. Notice what he says there in that verse, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. I just love that thought. Before the foundation of the world, he chose us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So, going on, it says that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, he didn't say for us to get holy and then he would accept us. He knew our sin. He knew what we needed. And so he brought Christ, the message of salvation, into our life so that we would believe. And then that holy life of Christ would be in us. And that's what it was, that we should be holy. You know, we talk about the standing before Christ. That's one of the terms that a lot of Christians use to explain that when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a standing before God with that salvation that we have believed in. And so it is a wonderful thing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and have that standing that we stand. He says that we should be holy. That is our standing. Praise the Lord. When God looks at us, there's a little saying that I like. It says, he doesn't look at us at what we used to be, but he sees Jesus. See, Jesus comes into our life, and he sees Jesus in us. And it's just what he wants. That's what he wants. He wants Jesus in our life. He wants us to be holy before him, and he wants us to be without blame. Now, that isn't just our effort. You know, I'm going to do good things today. I'm not going to be blamed for anything. No, that's not it at all. It's by letting Christ come into our life and making us, the scripture says, a new creation in Christ Jesus, and yielding to that life of Christ. He's always speaking to us. Have you found that? Yes, he's always speaking to us. Even in dreams, he'll speak to us and tell us that we should follow him. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. He hath, in verse 4, he hath chosen us. Praise the Lord. He's chosen us for himself. I just love that. Hallelujah. So in Paul's gospel, he speaks often about God choosing his people. And notice this, before the foundation of the world. God's plan was before he even created anything. Did you know that the plan for Jesus to die was before the foundation of the world? He knew what Adam was going to do. He knew what Eve was going to do. He knew what the devil would do. And he made the plan before it ever happened that he would send his son to die for our sins. What a thing. What a wonderful thing that is. Before the foundation of the Lord, of the world. And then notice what it says. I have to find my place. That we should be holy. Holy? Are you holy? In Christ you are. You have a new life in you. That is the Spirit of Christ. It's inside of you. We don't know where exactly, but it's here. Because the Bible says that we are born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And so there is that holy place, without blame before him. Praise the Lord. One place I looked up, it said that we are accepted, highly blessed, and exceedingly graced. Boy, what would we do without the grace of God? and his love for us. And notice that, without blame. We are not blamed. We have the Spirit of the Lord in us, and the Lord just loves us so much. In love, before we are before him, in love. And this is that good kind of love that we like. It's the Greek word is agape, and it's speaking of the eternal love that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much. He loves us. That's why he gave his life for us on the cross. Oh, how precious to think of that. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, there are people that believe in what they call predestination. My father-in-law, Brother Clark, my husband's father, was a man that believed in that, that only certain people are going to be saved because they're the ones that are God has set aside, and they're going to be their ones, and the rest of us don't have a chance. That word predestinated does not mean that only certain ones get saved. It is a word in the Greek that means determined before or ordained or predetermined. In other words, God knows the end from the beginning, and he presents salvation message to all of, that will take it, all who will believe. There is no special thing that God says, okay, I like them, so they're going to be my children. The rest of them over here, pooey, you know. He isn't that way at all. Every person that's come into this world could be a child of God if they would be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He has determined this before the world began. And he knows. He's God, you know. He knows. He knows who's going to believe. But he deals with people. He just so graciously deals with people, seeking them to follow him and love him. Even after we're born again, he continues this work. And this word adoption, this is not a word that we use. It's not that we're not really kin to God. We are kin to him. We are his children. The word adoption here means a son placing us as a son. It's a great mystery, this thing, sonship. Some people talk about the sonship. You know, it's a wonderful thing to realize that God loved us so much that he would send his only son to die for our sins so that we could have sonship. The Bible says, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we're going to be like him. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Oh, praise the Lord. We have been chosen as the sons of God. Hallelujah. Son placing into this position. It's a great mystery, isn't it? But, oh, hallelujah. The child of God that's born into the family. Praise the Lord. It comes about by that new birth. We receive Jesus as our Savior, and we are in the family of God. In Romans 9:26, it says, and it shall be called the children of the living God. I skipped just a little bit in that verse, but the latter part says, the children of the living God. You are the child of God. You have a right, like a child in a wealthy family, you know, that the kids seem like they're brats maybe, but they get everything they want. They know what they've got. They know what they're going to get. That's the way it is in a wealthy family. But in our family of the Lord Jesus, of God the Father, of course, Jesus, our beloved Savior, he provides all things for us. All things in our life are provided by Christ. If we'll let him, we have to have faith and believe those things, don't we? We are the children of the living God. And he was speaking there in that place to the Gentiles. Let's see, let's turn to that in Romans 9:26. It says, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people. Now he's talking about the Gentiles in above in verse 24, even so whom he hath called not of the Jews only, but only of the Gentiles. So the Lord has given provision now for all to believe in Christ, not just the Jewish people as it was in the beginning. But notice in verse 26, shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. How precious that is. Oh, hallelujah. That the living God is our Father. Hallelujah. And it, I'm not seeing what I'm looking for, but it's a verse that says that it may be back there in Ephesians. Okay, let's go back to Ephesians now. Ephesians. Yes, it is. It's in verse 5, the latter part. We have this son placing as the children of Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. According to the good pleasure of his will. That means satisfaction to the good pleasure of his will. The satisfaction that God the Father has. He has children. Yes. He has children. And he is so happy. Praise the Lord. In Psalm 100 verse 2 it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And that means a shout for joy. Joyful singing. That's what the Lord wants of us. And he is doing the same. When he sees us walk with God and yield our lives to the Lord and follow the word of God, oh my, do you know he's happy? I believe he just praises and gets just excited that we're walking with him. Isaiah 42:1 says, behold my servant, and that's Jesus, whom I uphold, which means I support, mine elect, my chosen one, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall bring forth judgment. Praise the Lord. And so we see so many people in the world today who are what we would class as Gentiles. They're not Jews, but they just really don't seem to know how to follow God, and so many in rejection. Oh, again, the news yesterday was just so horrible about that man going in that store and just killing people. You know, we are in a bad time right now. And what are these? These are signs to us that Jesus Christ is coming again very soon. He says, my spirit will not always strive with men. And God is going to one day come in. Now, back there in Ephesians 1:6. It says it's according to the pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory. Hallelujah. The glory of his grace. Just think of how the Lord is so blessed. The praise of his glory. His desire, a continual praise, the glory of grace. The Amplified says, to the praise of his glorious grace and favor, which he so freely bestowed upon us in the beloved. Oh, praise the Lord. Who's the beloved? Do you know? That's Jesus. Praise the Lord. We are accepted in the beloved, the latter part of that verse 6 says. We are accepted in the beloved. And I was thinking about that, how the word accepted here means we're highly favored, we're endued with special honor. Isn't that a neat thought? God has given us special honor, and he's given it to every child of God. But some children of God really don't walk with him and don't lay hold of what he has for us. But praise the Lord, he has accepted us. He's highly favored us and endued us with special honor. Praise the Lord. Notice that says we are accepted in the beloved. God, in Matthew 17:5, it says, it's this of Jesus, God's beloved son. That's who the beloved is Jesus. He accepts us in him. And that means that to be the beloved means that he dearly loves him. He dearly loves him. Hallelujah. You know what? He dearly loves us. Isn't that beautiful to know that? Oh, so many people don't know that. They think he's sitting up there with a rod and he's going to hit us any moment. But praise the Lord, we know that he's our beloved. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Oh my goodness, that's a verse, isn't it? We have redemption. This word means to redeem. The Bible means of this word redemption, it's a ransom in full. Now, we know what a ransom is. If somebody gets kidnapped and the people that kidnapped that person says, you've got to pay me so much money to get me back, get this person back away, you know, from me. Redemption, deliverance, it means deliverance. And oh, how thankful we are for what Christ did for us. When he died on that cross, the scripture says he redeemed us. Just like we were lost in some pawn shop and he said, there's one I want. And he gave his life and blood. And of course, it's more than just one, isn't it? In Hebrews 9:11 through 12, it says, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. There's that word, eternal redemption for us. Praise the Lord. We needed that. We needed salvation. Hallelujah. We need to be ransomed and delivered, and that's what he did for us. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. How faithful God is. Now, there in verse 7, going on to that verse, it says that it is through his blood, the redemptions that took place in Israel back in the Old Testament, and some of them try to carry on stuff now. it was through the blood. Lately, they have been, in the last maybe 10 or 15 years, they've been offering some sheep over there in Jerusalem, not in buildings or something like that, but just out in the open. But we know that the redemption that we have is through the blood of Christ. And notice, forgiveness of sin. Why? Why did he suffer so? Why did he suffer so? I wrote in my notes just as I was studying that the Old Testament, the priests in the Old Testament, the priest would drain the blood out of the sacrifice. And then they would sprinkle that on things. And that was to purify and to make holy the things there that were in the temple. When they went once a year behind the veil and put the blood there on the mercy seat, that was a very special thing. Praise the Lord. The Lord did that for us. And we're going to go to chapter 19 of John. Go to John 19. We're going to just look at the different things that Jesus did for us there at the cross. He was so willing to give his life. He didn't fight them. You know, he could have just said, hey, you know, I'm not doing this. And he wouldn't have had to do that at all. But we wouldn't have salvation. So thank the Lord that he did exactly what God had planned. And we want to remember also that in the Old Testament, I'm going to try to get to that, but if time, you know, goes, well, we may not. But in the 22nd Psalm, if you wanted to read that, there is just so many prophecies of Christ in that Psalm about all the things that will happen to him. And there that was written so long ago, before Jesus came on the earth, but it was prophecy. And it happened just like that. So let's look at this this chapter now here, 19 of the book of John. In verse 1, it helped to get on chapter 19, wouldn't it? Okay, chapter 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and he scourged him. This was a horrible thing to do. They beat him, and we've probably seen in movies since then, you know, about Jesus being beaten. It was horrible. It was a horrible, horrible event. He was beaten and punished as if he was the one that is a sinner. He took our place. Now, going on in verse 4. Pilate therefore went forth again. Now, of course, in verse 2, the soldiers platted a crown of thorns. We don't skip that. They platted a crown of thorns, and they put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe to make fun of him. Isn't that something? And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. That's according to Isaiah 52:14. And if you read again Isaiah 52, most of you know what I'm referring to. It is a prophecy of what Christ would go through as he bore all of our sin. And it certainly did that. Verse 4, Pilate therefore went forth again and said to them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Okay, verse 15 we're going to go to. We're not going to read every verse because we're just looking at the things they did to him. Verse 15, and the Jews here in verse 14, he asks them, he says to them, "Behold your king." And verse 15, they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Verse 16, then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. Isaiah 53:7. Verse 17, he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. And they crucified him, and two others with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And boy, did the Jews get mad, didn't they? "We don't want that on there. You take that off of there. He's not our king. We don't want him." That didn't change the situation. Praise the name of Jesus. We're going to go down to verse 30. And Jesus therefore had, we know that it says previously that he was thirsty. And then he received the vinegar. And then he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I don't think Jesus said, "It is finished." I don't think it was because he was weak that he was saying, "It is finished." When he said that, I think every ear that was there heard him say that. "It is finished." And he wasn't talking about his life. He was talking about what had been accomplished. Someone had to die for us. The soldiers went there to break his legs. Verse 33. But Jesus had already gone. Notice that in verse 33. When they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his legs. Praise the Lord. That's according to Psalm 34, verse 20, that his legs would not be broken. Isn't that an amazing thing? And yet the Jews will read that and say, "We don't know who that's for. We don't understand who that is." It's their blindness that they don't see the truth. And other people that are not Jewish, many of them just read the scripture and then just don't understand. So, hallelujah. Let's just go to Psalm 22 real quickly. Maybe you don't mind if I take a little bit more time. We're going to have communion here in just a moment. Psalm 22. We're not going to read the whole thing. We're just going to read parts that pertain especially to this. Verse 1. Remember what he said on the cross? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That's exactly what this verse says here in Psalm 22:1. "And from the words of my roaring." Praise the Lord. The scripture, holy and wonderful, prophesied before Jesus was ever here on the earth. You can read all of this because it's really good, but I'm going to go down to verse 6 now. and says, "But I am a worm and a no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people." And that's exactly what took place with the Jews. They hated him. They wanted him. They were saying, "Away with him, away with him." Verse 7, "All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake their heads, saying, 'He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him.'" They made fun of him. "Come down if you're the Son of God. Come down off that cross. Show you are." How mean and hateful. It's wonderful to see what God allowed in the Word. Verse 12, "Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me." This is satanic powers. Satanic powers there on the cross. Did you know, and I know you know this, he could have said, "Father, I'm not doing this. Take me down. Here I go. I'm going to go back to heaven right now. These people don't deserve it. You and I don't deserve what he did for us. But he loves us so much that he stayed on that cross. And the devil was just there, like the one man on the other cross that just started making fun of Jesus, and then the other man that started believing. It's just a horrible thing to think about. All right, verse 13, "They gaped upon me with their mouths as ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels." Since then, I know you've read probably how they crucified people and what it did to their bodies. They couldn't breathe. They keep pushing up on his feet, trying to get a breath because of the way they were hung. And that's what that verse refers to there. Oh, how pitiful. Verse 15, "There, my strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death." Verse 16, "For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." This was written a long time before Jesus came to this earth. And there it tells us exactly how they killed, what they did. That isn't what killed him, but, you know, nail him up there on the cross as they did. Verse 17, "I may tell all my bones, they look and snare. His bound stare up on me. His bones were out of place. They appeared more prominent." And by the way, he didn't have clothes on. Isn't that awful? That's what they did in those days. Pathetic. Verse 18, "They part my garments among them, and they cast lots upon my vesture." And that's exactly what they did. They divided the garments that he had and had some dice and see which one could win the best one. Oh, in verse 19, "Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me." You think Jesus would say that from the cross? I think he would, but I know one thing. He stayed on the cross for us. He stayed on the cross for us. Verse 27, we'll go down to, "All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee." Verse 31, "They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, and that he hath done this." What a miraculous thing that Jesus did all that. And here we are, 2023, and we are hearing what Jesus did on the cross and prophesied hundreds of years before he came to this earth. That's not the only prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament. So many, so many. Oh, how precious Jesus is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.